perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood. And indeed, the law given to the people established that priesthood. Why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron.
Verse 7?
Yeah.
Verse 12.
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go.
Okay. Verse 12, for the priesthood, being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the Lord.
Amen.
13, he of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar.
14, for it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests.
This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of
who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life.
For it is witness of him, you are a priest forever, after the order of
Melchizedek.
On one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness.
But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God.
Amen.
20. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath.
12.
Yeah.
But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever.
Amen. Because of this oath, Jesus has become guarantor of a better covenant.
Amen.
Amen.
The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office.
Amen.
But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood.
Amen.
Therefore, he is able to save completely those who came to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them.
Amen. Il nous convenait en fait d'avoir un souverain sacrificateur comme lui, saint, innocent, sans tache, séparé des pécheurs, et plus élevé que les cieux.
27. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer a sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people.
Amen.
He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself.
Amen.
People in the back.
Someone in the back. Last verse.
Thanks to that.
Last verse.
Paul appoints man in their weakness as high priest, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever.
Amen.
Amen. Did everyone read? Yeah.
Almost.
We'll start at verse 11 again.
Yeah. Okay. Someone restart at verse 11, those who have not read.
Yeah, here.
Yeah.
Verse 11, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could have been attained through the Levitical, and indeed the Lord given to the people as estimation as to be that a priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron.
For the priest,
priesthood?
He
being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
Your hope is that belongs to a different tribal, and no one from that tribal has ever served as an elder.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
Could be sure.
You have a stop.
11.
Fourteen.
14.
14.
14.
Yeah. Well, it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, and in connection with that, that nothing about priests.
This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek.
他成为祭司并不是照属肉体的条例，乃是照无穷之生命的大能。
Amen.
Amen.
For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
18. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless.
Amen.
For the Lord made nothing perfect, and with their home is introduced by
Christ
to me.
Amen.
20. And it was not without an oath, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath.
Amen.
For they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek."
Amen.
22. Because of the oaths, Jesus has become the guarantee of better
covenant. 23. Depuis il y a eu des sacrificateurs en grand nombre, parce que la mort les empêchait d'être permanents. Amen.
24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood.
25. There he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them.
26. For such an high priest becomes, who is holy, harmless, undefined, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens.
Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself.
28. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever.
Okay. What do you guys think? Questions? Words that you like? Words that you find weird?
Okay.
Yeah. Anything?
So, useless fact of the week. One of my coworkers, it's really funny, I don't know how he claims this. He says he's from the line of Aaron. That would be really, what?
Aaron.
Yes. That would be really cool if I can ask him for proof of that. But anyway, yes. He's Jewish. But beyond that point, as he goes around eating pork all the time. But anyways, beyond that, so my feelings for this is the how great Jesus is in terms of having to go through him to reach God, as it says in verse 20. Well, he is was interceding for us. Verse 25. Okay. We do not have to go through the line of Aaron anymore to be close to God, because Jesus is there for us. We go through him. And he was perfect. We do not have to continuously sacrifice things or go to priests to sacrifice stuff for us, because God was the ultimate sacrifice. He was ultimate sacrifice because he was perfect, blameless, and the highest kind of sacrifice one can give to God. And he did that for us so that we can be free, so that we don't have to go through the old ways. And it's not like there was a talk about how, you know, does that mean that the Old Testament laws are useless? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that there is a better way of going closer to God. And not to do with the laws, but to be closer to God a better way, which is through Jesus. That he intercedes for us to have us go through him. You know, and that is a great hopeful meaning, you know, because Jesus's love is great, you know, and to know that he did this for us is hopeful, you know, it gives us all hope and strength.
Yeah, I actually really like. The direction-ish that you're going to. I feel like there's a lot of, in this chapter, it talks a lot about perfection and being, like, forever. And then whenever that is mentioned, it talks about Jesus, right? So right from the first verse, it says, now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood. So it was never able to be perfect, even with everything they did. And they did, like, a lot of stuff. So you remember before, like, in the tabernacle, they had to, like, sacrifice animals. And then once a year, the priest had to go in so that we can, like, be with God. But even with all of that, it was never perfect. And it was like, never told, satisfied. Anyways, and then it just shows how much we needed Jesus to be there for us. Because he, like the last verse, it says that he is perfect and he is forever perfect. So, and it's just, like, no matter how much we try to be better or be perfect or try to please God, I feel like the one thing we really do need is Jesus in this. And like Alex said, it's like in chapter 6, it talks about how he's our hope, and here it says he's our guarantor. So it's like, it's not just something temporary or someone you can't rely on, but no, it's like Jesus is forever, and he is a hope that you can forever hold on to really help you stay. I mean, I don't know, grow in faith or something. But I think it's just it's like really pretty and beautiful. It's like,
yes.
It's like, you know, we have Jesus who is perfect, and it's nice.
Like, continue with Lucy. Well, this is kind of Lucy question. Okay, continue with Lucy. I really like the verse 20-21. Oh, 20 and 21. It's just like, and it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, and you are a priest forever. Like, from the chapter 7, we can see that what's the difference between our Jesus, Lord, to become the priest, and what's the difference between the Leviticus, like, another priest in the Old Testament. Like, the really, really, like, obvious difference is one in the verse 2, it said, like, the king of righteousness, king of Salem, and king of peace. Like, he's the king. That's the first different. And another different is, like, another priest, without any oath, the only Jesus, the oath of God. So that, like, Lucy said, like, we can depend on, like, this is really beautiful that this priest is priest forever, and we can just, like, depend on him without any law before. The law before was not that useless, but we have a better thing now, right? We have a better thing that we can depend on, that we can, like, wash our sins away, that we can get closer to God, and we can broke down the wall between us and God. Like, yes, this is so beautiful thing. These two different that I found from this chapter, that the difference between the normal priest and the priest that we can depend on.
Amen.
Yeah.
So he's still comparing.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of different between Jesus and the priest,
right?
The first is they die, they're not permanent. But Jesus is the high priest forever. And also the priesthood, the priest, they need to give sacrifice for their own sin first, before giving the sacrifice for the people. But Christ, the high priest, in verse 27, he just did it once, you know, for himself, and that gonna be forever. It's only once. Doesn't need to do it every day for his own sins.
Yeah.
He has no sins in English.
It looks like Jesus is the only one qualified to do this.
Yes, he's perfect.
He's the only one qualified.
Yeah, he's perfect. Yeah. Himself as a human being like us, and have 33 years and a half life on the earth, but he didn't sin at all. Yeah, so like the things I really want to say is like, if you go through the whole Bibles, there are a lot of different stories about about a man on the earth and in history, their whole life, but no one is perfect. Even David, even Solomon, they did something wrong, and they repent, of course. But no one is perfect but Jesus. So yeah, so he is the perfect Lamb for us from God.
Like, is it not beautiful that we have Jesus to turn to?
Yeah.
You know, that we do not try to make ourselves perfect through the law.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, we do things for doing things. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't also such a great, like, freedom that we know that, cause I'm probably guilty of, like, all of us are guilty of this, like, we always try to do good things, and we always want a certain outcome. And then when the outcome doesn't come, we feel like disappointed in ourselves. We feel like we failed, and we feel like, but no, we haven't failed, because we can always turn to Jesus, you know, because he is made perfect, and that's why he was there for us to let us go closer to God, he's the one that we can turn to all the time. So we don't, like, we are forgiven to not be perfect, because we can't be perfect anyways. You know, even all the Levitical priests, they could not be perfect, and they were men, because they were men.
Yeah, you know? Even Paul.
Right.
Great to know we are not perfect. So, sometimes, personally, I know some part, like, my personality, some part is like not perfect at all. And but for that part, like, I really pray that Jesus can take part. Take over, like, replace my not perfect part, and I just give myself to Jesus. Like, okay, Jesus, see, this is my weakness, so you can just take over. I don't want to do this by myself, but I just want to do it through you. Like, yeah, that's sometimes I can feel like God's words can really work inside of me. Thomas, the testimony, like, sometimes, like, Jesus really do something through us, like, can improve our life, but I feel like I feel like the strength is not from myself, but it's from the words of God, from the church life, from, you know, the time with our brothers and sisters. That's amazing. Yeah.
So last week I gave us a little bit of testimony, and again, it's just great that I don't know how many people, but we can turn directly to him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't need to go through someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's I don't know how many, and again, it's hard to keep discipline because a lot of us forget that, and then we either feel guilty and not right. do anything, you know. But it is great to know that we just can go to him no matter what the situation.
Amen.
You know, no matter how, like, there's nothing as shameful as can be, you know. And no matter what wrongs we have done, he will always be there to listen.
Right.
You know, and forgive us of our sins.
Mm-hmm. You know. So actually, this week while reading Bible with Thomas, we discuss about that, which is Satan. He often attacks us by making us guilty or unworthy to come before God, to pray to God. So we just feel guilty. So we don't want to go before God. And but here it says, it's over. All the sins we need to approach, to draw near to God. There's nothing, no one is worthy, no one is unguilty. What we have to do, the only thing we have to do is open our heart and just go in front of him. Is verse 27. Yeah, right. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. So their sins is our sins. So there's nothing guilty, there's nothing unworthy. That saw so many brothers and sisters no longer come to church life because they probably miss one meeting and they just feel guilty. So they just don't come again. But we can just go before the Lord. There's nothing wrong. Everyone fails. Everyone, no one's guilty, no one's worthy, but he offered himself once. And it's forever.
Amen.
Right. The point is just to pray to him.
Now I think, like, based on verse 27, for sure, the fact is that Jesus, he died for us once. And finished the sacrifice. But personally, for me, like before, I was like I just believe this verse by feeling. Sometimes I feel like, oh man, my sins is done. All my sins are forgiven by God or by covered by Jesus' blood. But my feeling always lies to me like, okay, I sinned again. I feel like I keep doing something wrong. I don't feel like Jesus really died for me because I still live in sometimes I still sin. So like, but the other thing that I realized after that is like I have to believe in God's words by faith, not by feeling. Feeling always change. Like feelings always like can be sometimes, even sometimes like our feeling can be used by Satan.
Right.
Yeah. So like Satan always like try to, you know, turn us from God to the world or something else, but Jesus. So if we just if I believe in God by feeling, I feel like it's really hard. It's really hard to just stay in Jesus Christ, stay in his salvation. But there's another hard thing to do, just like believing God's words by faith. That's still for me is still a lesson I have to learn.
Yeah, right. There's another thing I've seen quite often is people, they don't pray because they think they don't know how to pray, or their prayers are just bad. But actually, there's no good or bad prayers. There's only you pray or you don't pray. There's nothing bad or good. There's a brother told me I don't want to pray because it's really bad. The Lord won't listen. No, He listens to every prayers, but it needs to be real from you, out of your heart. And some told me the brothers and sisters will laugh at me. But actually, I never saw that before. Everyone just support you by saying, yelling, amen, to support you.
Amen.
So there's no good prayers or bad prayers. They're like real prayers. If you practice not to prepare it, but just go all of your spirits. Mm-hmm. And there are the thing that you pray or you don't pray.
Amen.
But not I don't know how to pray or I my prayer is really bad.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter. Just pray and practice.
Amen.
You think it's bad, pray for it and practice.
Amen.
I just want to stress out the fact that Trishan said to practice prayer. Like I learned this semester that God, like you said, there's no bad or good prayer, but it's really important to pray according to what God wants. I remember Brother Mike Gansters, when he was reciting the Book of Philippians, there was a verse that really struck me.
Amen.
It said, we always pray for what we want, mm-hmm. but we never pray for what God wants.
Right.
And it's really important to pray for God's kingdom. For example, praying for the church, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
This is, if your prayers can like truthfully be for the church and for things like that, I feel like God will add everything else that you don't even need to pray for it. You can just tell God that you want something, but you don't know if it's good or not for you because you don't know, because He has the authority and He knows what's good for you. Maybe you don't know what is really good for you, and you're praying for something that might harm you, or you know. So I think it's really important to be precise in your prayers and tell God that you just want to follow Him and love Him purely, and not for the things that He can give you or the things that you want in life, whatever it is, to pray for God's kingdom and to really pray that God gives you a pure heart to love Him and to be for his church. I think that's it's a really good prayer for you to move forward and to learn how to pray more. Because that's how you know God's heart desire.
Amen.
But just, I know I agree that we have to pray for God's kingdom, but I feel like at very beginning, we have to pray sincerely, like from your spirit. Because sometimes I really try to pray for God's kingdom, I don't feel the burden.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so focused on myself. I focused on the things I want, even though I say something for God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel myself is so big.
You know what's marvelous about prayers? You can pray for His kingdom. You can pray for the church and brothers and sisters. Pray for it. Lord, I don't have a burden for Your kingdom. Give me the burden.
Yeah.
Give me the burden to pray for it. Right?
Amen.
You pray for everything.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely like you're praying for a church. That's a better prayer, for sure. That based on God's word, but... we need to step by step, like generally.
Yeah, like eventually we will pray in that level.
You will go that step, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't want to, at the beginning, like, I don't make it pray as a prayer. I just simply, like, okay, God, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
to you. And then start slowly, like, okay, I feel like the words I said to God in a prayer.
Yeah.
And then most time before, the things I did is, like, I pray for myself,
Mm-hmm.
And then starting slowly, like, I pray for church, like, even one words or some sentence or something about church. But slowly, that part may grow up, you know what I mean? Like, you start feeling burden.
from God. But yeah, it takes time.
It takes a practice to grow in the church life.
So first step, if you don't pray or you don't open your mouth during Lord's Day table, you practice to pray, to open your mouth. It's not that hard. Just practice and be confident and be real. Yeah. That's step one. And step two, once you start to pray, practice to put church and brothers and sisters before your own prayers. And if you can do it, just pray for it. Lord, I always pray for myself. I don't pray for you, not for your kingdom. But help me, yeah. And go step by step. But the first priority is open your mouth to pray. If you don't pray, everything is useless.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. All right. Yeah. Actually, chapter, guys.
Chapter.
I have a question. Okay, so verse 12. It says, for when there is a change in the priesthood, there is necessarily a change in the law as well. So then I was just thinking, I was like trying to like figure this out. Right, so the priesthood was Aaron. The Levites, right?
Yes.
So was Aaron. And then last week we talked about Melchizedek. He's a king, but he's not from the line of
Levi.
Of the Levites. Yeah. So technically, like here it says
and he disappeared.
Mm-hmm. But like he, about Moses,
he's older,
and he is greater than
14, right?
14, yeah. And then it says that the line of, what is it, Judah?
Yes.
Is not, has nothing to do with like with the the Levites and Aaron.
Yep.
So and then in verse 12 it says that the law has needed to be changed because the priesthood like changed. And it just got me wondering, like, you know how I thought the law was like perfect and then like unchangeable, but then he found the need to like bend his law and change ish his law so that Jesus would need to come. And it's just, I feel like it's just like we're so useless. I don't know, it's like, because first verse is like, now if perfection had been attainable, but it's like not attainable. They never got to the point of perfection. So then he found the need to, well, even Melchizedek, like he wasn't from the law, but he found the need to change the law so that we can have Jesus.
So we can be closer to God.
That too, but I don't know, it just got me that I was like, I thought the law can change, and it's like,
I think, we have two priests, right? The first one is in Old Testament, is the Israelites, the sons of Aaron, and now we have a new priest in the New Testament. So the old laws, the Ten Commandments, now become the laws inside of us, the laws of life. Mm-hmm. That's how I understand it.
It's not like, it's how they
apply. It's not more written on papers.
It's not an application.
Right? On tablets. Yeah. Now it's inside
of us. It's a
different
application.
Well, they say that the law exemplifies God's perfect standard.
Yeah. So that, but the, it's the only thing that changes the application.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus came to fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus, but in a way of not like, you know, in a strict, okay, now we have to do this, now we have to do this, now we have to do this.
Don't change the
It's more like the law's purpose remains the same.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But right. It was just basically impossible for us to actually.
I know, but it's still crazy, no?
And it doesn't make us and by us following the law, it's never made us closer to God, like just by following it like blind sheep.
Crazy science.
Right? So if we follow Jesus, we'll be following the law as well because our heart has changed.
Christ becomes our law.
Yeah. And then verse 16 it says, who has become priest? So Jesus?
Yes.
Not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life.
Amen.
What does that exactly mean? No, it's just like, clearly, what does that
I wanted to speak about this a bit, but how great it is that, you know, because one who becomes a priest through ancestry is like sort of forced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like Melchizedek, a king, a powerful king, not from the line of Aaron, not from anything, and Abraham, who is a direct descendant from God, decided to still go, not direct descendant, like God's chosen person, even went to this priest, Melchizedek, to get blessed. And so God found it necessary, in my thoughts, that he had to choose a better way, and he didn't want to choose one based on, you know, regulation. Like, in my feeling, if you're born as a priest, and I've had colleagues who are from the priest case or from the line of Aaron, you know, if you get forced into it, it's sort of not sincere, you know, because they're born into it, they're told what to do. Mm-hmm. You know? But to get someone greater is to get some, like to be someone in order to melt, so that you couldn't be forced into this profession. God, Jesus was the high priest because he was just indestructible and he was perfect. Mm-hmm. And a king. And but that's my interpretation. I could be wrong.
I understand half of it. I understand priests should be Levites, but mm-hmm. Jesus is from Judah, mm-hmm. son of David, mm-hmm. so he's not a Levite.
Right.
How come he's a priest? And they say he's not following the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, right? It's no longer the same process to select
yes.
priests,
yes.
but it's by the life. Right?
By the choice mm-hmm. of God?
Yeah, that's straight typical life. The power of the life. Mm-hmm. I can't really understand that part.
Well, I mean, the whole point of why priests existed in the Old Testament was to intercede for the Israelites so that they would not... the sinful nature was leading to death, right? Mm-hmm. So what the priest did was they offered, they interceded on the people's behalf. They offered sacrifices for the people
yeah.
so that they would not die from their sinful
right.
nature. So then basically it's saying here, like, where does the authority of a priest come from? Mm-hmm. So in the Old Testament, it came from literally just like God saying, well, Aaron, you're now the high priest, and your descendants will be high priests after you, and the Levites will be the people who are the priests and the people who work in the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was basically just saying, like, so your lineage does this. That's just it. That's the authority that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But then, what the authority should actually be based on is based on the power of life, the power of man, the life here said. That Jesus possesses, because the role of a high priest was to bring life to the people.
So they don't die.
Yeah, exactly.
The only part I can't understand is the 16 and 17, like, to read them together, because the Melchizedek represents the Jesus, right? Represent mm-hmm. Jesus, and Melchizedek was a king, but he was not the line of the family of
Levites.
He's yes.
before Abraham.
Yeah, and Jesus also. So, like the verse 7
right.
kind of explained the verse 16 that it's not the regulation of the, what's the word? Ancestry. But chosen by God.
It's no longer the order of Aaron,
yes.
the order of Melchizedek.
Right.
In verse 18, it says, "For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness." What commandment? This is talking about.
Is that singular or plural?
It's singular. Like, after it says, for the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. So I'm guessing that's talking about Jesus. But what commandment is set aside that because it was weak and useless?
Right, it's singular.
I think it's ancestry. Because this version of, is that ESV? It says the former regulation instead of commandment. So the regulation is a regulation of ancestry.
What do you mean?
The regulation in 16.
The regulation.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. That, like,
it's not like 10 commandments, but the regulation of selection of priests.
Okay, okay, okay.
You
okay.
Can't be priest.
Okay.
So let's put that aside.
Wait.
Makes sense? So 19 is a better hope. Better hope. 19.
Jesus. Jesus. Yeah.
Eternity.
What's up?
Christ.
Yeah, it's like chapter 6, verse 19, right? It says we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtains.
So it's the priest for high priest forever.
Oh, it's like, yeah.
Having the highest priest forever.
Having
Jesus. Well, yeah,
that's how I
it's basically it. Having a chance of actually being able to fulfill the law.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because the law was not fulfillable under the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like a delaying of the thing. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, this is the hope that we will actually be able to be made perfect in the law.
That makes sense. Then by this fulfillment of the law, we can approach God.
Yeah.
And come near to God.
Exactly.
And he's inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It's the commandment they were talking about there. It's basically just
the
Levitical priesthood. Yeah. Because that was written like as a law into the Old Testament. But
so should we just end in prayer?
Yes.
Alright.
Yeah.
Brian and anyone else.
Okay, sure. Whoever wants to go after me. Amen. Yes, Lord. Lord, thank you for giving us yourself, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, Lord, we might no longer have to fulfill the law, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, that, Lord, you are the perfect high priest, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, that you plead on our behalf, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you make us righteous, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, you justify us.
Amen.
Lord, and yes, Lord, yes, just reveal more of yourself to us.
Amen.
Lord, help us understand more of who you are, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, that we might truly come to appreciate you, Lord.
Amen.
Or be able to give praises to you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That we give praise to you.
Amen.
That you are the high priest forever.
Amen. Amen.
You offer yourself once.
Amen.
Lord, and it's accomplished forever.
Amen.
Lord, that you are our high priest forever.
Amen.
Lord, eternal. Lord, also a permanence. Lord, thank you that you are priest not for that old regulation, Lord, but for the power of your life,
Lord,
for the power of your resurrection,
Lord,
that we can be drawn near to God, that we can really fulfill the laws, Lord, and approach God, and pray to God, and come before God. Amen.
So next week, we're having our first only English Lord's Table. So then it's going to be here. We're going to have our own bread and cup. And then, so it's going to start at 9:40 here.
Right.
And then I guess we can go down for break, and then come back up for our second meeting. And then we're going to be reading chapter 8 of Hebrews.
Amen. So it's March 5th.
Yeah.
I have an announcement from Sister Jennifer. She's doing children's service. So she organized an activity because it's spring break for high schoolers and for some students. So she... she's going to do. After the meeting, they will arrange rides to a place, and it's called Isos. So it's a trampoline, right?
Trampoline.
So trampoline, yeah. And it's around two hours, around $20. And then everyone's going back to 3 and 5. And our dear sister Diane is cooking for us.
Yay, Diane!
And so yeah, so there's activity after the Lord's Day. We're all living together. They will arrange rides. And you salt, and you go back to 3 and 5 and having dinner together. That's so March 5th, spring break.
Next Sunday.
Thursday, yeah. Yep.
So I guess tell Jennifer if you're coming or not.
Yep.
Make sure that the quantity for food or rides is set. And if you have like any other really cool ideas that you guys would like to propose, just write it on the group or just message either Jennifer.